I truly thank God for this good opportunity the Lord has given to us today. And I really thank God for the assembly here and the assemblies in Mumbai, and especially the leaders of AYC. As I have seen, you have, in spite of all the fun and the songs and the various activities you could have together, you have given sufficient time for the reading of the Word of God. 2 hours is not an easy time, and I really appreciate you for that. As I already said, when you give the Lord His share, be confident He will do the rest in your life for sure. It's very important for us, as we live but for a while here in this world, that you and I might live a life which is worthy of our high calling. So it is for each one of us to watch our walk. This afternoon, in this concluding session, there are so many thoughts in my heart and mind. But just to summarize the whole, after a while, you and I are going to step out of this hall into the real world. As we step out, why did the Lord bring us together and have given us not just the time of retreat, but the time of review? What decision have I made in my life? How can I summarize the whole Christian life that the Lord has brought me in? So many other verses are there, but this couple of verses carry along with you. Think on these things. When you turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and can somebody read loudly for me verse 31? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they, listen carefully, not everybody, but they, will you be one among these they? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yeah? They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
They shall run and not be weary.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When I was reading afresh this verse, I found as if this verse is summarizing the whole Christian life for me. When we live in this world, well, you and I need strength. We need grace. We need help. We need motivation. We need encouragement. And all that we need is given to here in this one verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And you and I need that renewed strength each day. What is the source? Wait upon the Lord. How do I wait upon the Lord? Spend time in prayer, spend time in quiet time, spend time with the local assembly, spend time with the fellow believers. That alone is the source of real strength for us to have these threefold ways that we see in our Christian life. Number one, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Number two, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The whole Christian life, as if for them that wait upon the Lord, who will receive the strength, is given here for this threefold area. When you think of each of this area, mount up with wings as eagles. Yeah, you and I need to go upward, you know, in our relationship with God, in our relationship with one another, in our spiritual life, upward. That speaks about our Godward responsibility, I would call. That speaks to us of the area which is most important, that you and I be the worshippers of the Lord. Do you remember that verse in the scripture that says, for the Son of Man came into this world to Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came into this world to seek and to save. But if you read John's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 23, what does it say? For the Father seeketh such to worship Him, who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. Just compare these two verses, Luke 19:10 on one hand and John 4:23 on the other hand. What do you find there? Son is seeking, Luke 19:10, John 4:23, Father is seeking. Son is seeking the lost ones and He saves them. Thank God, most of us here are ready to and able to say that. I am sought by Him, I am saved by Him. Praise God for you. So what's the next one? Father is seeking from among the saved ones, from among the loved ones. Father seeketh the true worshippers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Notice that word seeketh both in Luke 19:10 and also in John 4:23. Father is seeking true worshippers. How can I be a true worshipper? Well, that will be entirely a different subject for us. If I am saved and brought into the fold of God, when the eyes of the Lord come here, every time, remember, He is looking for the true worshippers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Number two, that speaks about our work. It could be our routine work. That speaks about our world, our life outside, outside the home, into the world. What may be? You may be a student, you may be working, you may be employed, you may be professional, or whatever responsibility that you are involved in your relationship with the world outside. Number one, it speaks about our worship. Number two, it speaks about our work. Number three, when you talk about the simple walk and not faint, it speaks about our routine work, our daily work, our self-word. Reasoning or reckoning, you can call it. Now, it is our routine, mundane life, our day-to-day life. Why do I say that? Because when I read Matthew's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 17, what does that word speak about? It says about the Lord Jesus Christ. What is written there? The moment the Lord was to commence His ministry, public ministry, after 30 years of age, next 3.5 years of ministry. This is the time when He came to do that which was according to the law. When He came to the river Jordan, He was baptized of John the Baptist. The moment He was baptized, this verse will tell you, and the heaven opened. And the heaven declared one thing, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Have you ever thought about that? When did the heaven open? When He was baptized. What did the heaven say? This is My beloved Son, and with whom I am well pleased. What did that Son do by now? What did that Son do to please the Father by now? He has not even commenced His ministry. For the purpose which He came, He has not even started yet. You know, He was about to start after this. And heaven has already shown His pleasure concerning the beloved Lord Jesus Christ. That means the first 30 years of life, which an ordinary life as a young child, as a young boy, as a 12-year-old boy, till growing up to 30 years of age, it was a routine life in the house, with the parents, in the carpenter shop, or whatever he must be doing. The scripture is silent of those 30 years of his period of life. But that is what the life that pleased the Father. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At this young age, the eyes of the Lord are watching. Then comes the youthful age. Then comes the adulthood. Then comes the manhood. And each of our areas, the routine, mundane, day-to-day life, where the Lord has placed you and me, maybe in your house, maybe in your family, maybe with your relatives, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe in your college, school, or your workplace. In our routine, mundane, day-to-day life, is God pleased with me? Remember, when I say this, He has not even preached one message by now. Remember, by now, He has not even performed one miracle. And heaven is happy with Him. Heaven is not happy when I preach messages. Heaven is not happy when I sing songs. Heaven is not happy when I do so many activities in the things of the Lord. That's good. That's very happy. No doubt it is to be done. But when? Only when heaven is pleased prior to that. Without preaching any message or without performing any miracle, heaven has shown His pleasure in the beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? If the Lord is not happy in your home situation, with your relationship with your mother, with your father, in the assembly, with the elders, with the in your college, with your professor, with your friends, how is your relationship? What kind of thing will you get as a reply from them. What does your father speak about you? What does your mother speak about you? How do they really think about you? Are they really happy about your life? If I'm not able to please within my house, how will I please the Father who is in heaven? So a small outline which you can develop here and you can study on this, but I have something else to share with you. Maybe I can go a little ahead. We were thinking about Peter and we just talked about it. How could he finish well? He had bad beginning. He had his pitfalls. He had his slippery ground. He had his problems. But how could he finish well? Only one thing. Remember, only one thing. And that's the only thing that can help us or any one of us to be surviving in our Christian life. Because of the intervention of the Lord. When the Lord intervenes, young man, young woman, give heed to it. Pay attention to it. Don't take it casually. When the Lord deals with an individual, we have seen here, as far as Peter is concerned, these three things. When he was thinking, the Lord caught him. When he was straying, the Lord corrected him. And when he was swearing, the Lord challenged him. And the Lord restored him back. How faithful is he who has called us? A subject that I want to leave with you before we all part from here is, when you turn to this passage once again, Matthew's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 27 to 33. How can I survive from sinking? How did he survive from sinking? Will you please turn to that? Matthew's Gospel chapter 14 and look at verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when Jesus saw the wind, when he, that is Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I just want to leave some very important note with you before you leave this place. How can I survive from sinking? Number one, the word of the Lord. What was it? Be of good cheer. Our cheer, our smile, you know, Godwin was telling repeatedly here, I see you all silence, you're all dumb, you're all, you know, sad, are you not happy? And he tried to make you laugh and try to get you involved into things. But the word of the Lord can really bring cheer in the life of a man, even if he is in that dire situation. The boat was caught into the boisterous wind. It was a late night hour. It would have been after a while and all of them would have sunk and the whole thing would have been over. When they saw him walking on the water, what? They were scared. It was natural. The scare, the fear that they had was natural. But the word that came from the mouth of the Lord, I want to tell you, what was it? Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. My dear children, whenever you step outside into this world, keep this word sentence with you. How could the Lord bring cheer in the life of these disciples? In spite of this boisterous wind and a big problem. Always remember this. There is no problem in your life and my life which he cannot handle. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, one thing they should have remembered is this. The waves that were over their head, I repeat, the waves that were over their head were the same waves under his feet. There is no situation in your life which is out of control of the Lord. It is all under his feet. He can help you. He can guide you. He can bring cheer. He can strengthen you. There is nothing that the Lord cannot handle. Never give up in your life. Never give up. When I say giving up, I see so many examples just coming up in my mind. Examples means not story, cooked up stories. but real incident that have happened. I have seen individual giving up in their life. Never give up. There is no situation which the Lord cannot handle. Always remember the word of the Lord. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Because all that we see are troubles in our life, are all troubles under His control. There is nothing which He cannot handle. But then the Lord said something more. What did He say to them? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I love that, you know. The Lord didn't say to them, O thou of, or to him, O thou of no faith. The Lord did not condemn, but the Lord commended. This is what, and this is how, this is who the Lord is there for us. He will never condemn us. But in spite of that faith that He could see in him, He said, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? I know what kind of faith you and I have. I know what kind of faith I have. You know, the Lord said, even if a faith like a mustard seed, it's enough to move mountains. That means even that much of faith we don't have. One thing I want to leave with you is, the Lord never condemns, but the Lord always commends. Do you remember that? When He was swearing, cursing, and denying His relationship and association with the Lord. One thing happened there. He was there in the court, being tried, being judged. Allegations, shouting, howling. People were all against Him. Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Here was He, warming up Himself. And when He denied at that time, the third time, in spite of His suffering there, and He denying here His relationship and association with Him, one thing happened there. Mark says it very clearly. And the Lord looked at Peter. What a look it was. I told you, no, you will do this to me. No, no, no. It was not that kind of look. What look it was. It was not look to condemn him. It was not look to pull him down. It was not look to say, see, what I said has come true. No, no, no. The Lord looked with compassion. And it is that look which made Peter to cry. May I tell you, this afternoon, the Lord has that same tender concern. Look for each one of us. He knows where we are. He knows how we are. And the look of the Lord is still there for you and for me to be brought into this commending thing which the Lord has said. When I was reading this verse, I wanted to say one particular aspect before you. What this little faith can do. You and I always say, what to do, yaar? I'm not that like that uncle, you know, he knows Bible, he preaches, and I'm not like that brother who sings, and I'm not able to do this and do that. I'm an ordinary believer. I have very little faith. Yeah, that's what the Lord comments. That's what the Lord wants. How can a sinking saint be restored or recovered or survive? Just with the little faith. And I want to give you five things what the little faith can do. In this verse itself, you can find out. Number one, we read in verse 28. Look at what Peter said there. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. In that same verse, you can see what little faith can do. In first sentence itself, Lord, if it be thou. What the little faith can do? Number one, little faith, first of all, desires to be like the Lord. Lord, if it be thou, I want to be like you. He identified, he knew, he recognized. He took his word for granted. It is I. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. He took that word for granted. If you say you have little faith, remember the quality, the characteristic of little faith, that it always desires to be like the Lord. And that's what the ultimate thing which God is doing actually in every Christian's life. That you and I might be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that urge in you? Do you have that desire in you? Do you have that concern in you? Is that pull there in your life? No doubt sin is there. No doubt troubles are there. Temptations are there. No doubt there are problems and difficulties. No doubt there are so many things which are pulling me backward. But do I have? Number one, Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, showing his desire to be like the Lord. Look at the second word that he said in the same sentence. What did he say? Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And I would like to say here, little faith not only desires to be like the Lord, little faith desires to draw near to the Lord. If it be thou, bid me come. It was not easy. Though the sea was familiar to him, though the waters were familiar to him, it was not easy to make that statement. He had desire to draw near to the Lord. What's your desire? What's your desire? What pulls you? Is it that sin? Is it that temptation? Is it that relationship? Is it that particular thing which holds you back and pulls you backward? What draws you closer to the Lord? Is your desire to draw near to Lord? Or only just to sing, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. I would love to speak about that cross. I would love to speak about those who were near the cross. There were only five near the cross. Only five. Four women and one man. It's a beautiful study. Who has that desire? There are many who would sing this song, but who would really remain near to the Lord? Little faith desires to be like the Lord. Little faith desires to draw near to the Lord. Look at that next word. What does it say? Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. It's not easy to say now. On the water. I hope you can put the sentence there. Little faith desires to. Can you put the word on that? Little faith desires to. You can try. Walk like the Lord, very good. Little faith desires to, any word. Lord, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Little faith desires to walk on the victory ground. They thought it's difficult. They thought we have lost. They thought our life is over. The water on which the Lord Jesus Christ was walking, remember, it was a victory ground. Any hour, any time, anything happening around him, he is walking on that water victoriously. And Peter said, Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, I want to come near to you. Lord, I want to be on the victory ground like you. See, when we talk about Peter, we can say how he denied the Lord, and we can talk about his little faith and all that. But did you think ever about, out of all those who were in the boat or ship, who stepped out? Who dared to talk? They all said, it is ghost, it is ghost. And they were all scared. But when he heard, it is I, be of good cheer, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And it was first time in his life. He must have stepped out of the ship or boat onto the water. And remember, he walked literally on the water. There was no doubt Peter was walking on the water. He was showing that he, like his Lord, is on the victory ground. Are you a defeated Christian? Or are you living a victorious Christian life? Do you desire to walk on the victory? We can sing of the victory. Yeah, so many songs of victory. But I feel so sorry for them who come together on the Sunday morning and declare our Lord is victor. He rose again from the dead. He is alive. Death is defeated. Satan is defeated. Foe is defeated. Grave is defeated. He is alive. He is not here. And we come to declare that on the Sunday morning, the resurrection day of the Lord. They come together on the victory day to sing victory song, to celebrate the victory of the Lord, to remember His victory, but they themselves are living the defeated life. You said it. How many of them are living defeated life? Well, I don't want to send you with a negative note. How sad when on Saturday night they move the same fingers on things where it should not be kept. Going on using their mouse or their keyboard or whatever it may be. And seeing or doing all that is unhealthy Saturday late night. But on Sunday morning they have no fear to stretch out the same hand and break of the bread and take of the cup and remember Him. How many Christians today talk about victory but live a defeated life? Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. Little faith, desires to be like the Lord, desires to draw near to the Lord, desires to walk on the victory ground. Look at that next. What did Lord say to him? Peter, you cannot come. No. When he said, the Lord gave him a command, an order, he fulfilled his desire. And the Lord said only one word. If you have red letter Bible with you, it is put there. Come. The Lord said, come. The Lord said, come. And we read there, and when Peter was come down, what will you put there? Little faith desires to. The Lord says, come. And Peter come down. Yeah, you are correct. Little faith desires to obey the Lord. In spite of anything around them. If you say you have little faith, why did the Lord command it? Because of these things in it. He desired to obey the Lord. One more thing. But when he saw the boisterous wind, it was but natural. Hindi mein kehte hai na, nazar hati, to bas uski nazar Prabhu se hati. Nazar Prabhu se uthai, chahe wo ho, aap ho ya main hoon. Nazar Prabhu se hati, to yaad rakhna, durghatna nishchit ghati. He lifted his eyes from the Lord. He heard the sound and he saw the wind that was boisterous and he started sinking. If we fix our eyes upon Him, we'll be able to walk on that victory ground. But when he cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me, what would you put there? Little faith desires to. What would you put there? Very good. Depends upon the Lord. That's right. Little faith, in times of crisis, cries to the Lord. Depends upon the Lord. Earnestly prays to the Lord. When you pass through times of difficulties, do you have that desire to cry unto the Lord, to come to the Lord? Or to just complain and grumble and murmur and give excuses and, you know, find out some way out and shortcuts that you are talking about? Or do you really desire all these five things? That's why the Lord has commended Peter. Thou of little faith. If we read that, we feel as if Lord is accusing. No. He indeed had a doubt in his heart. But we see all of these things which he has performed. He has shown what little faith can do. My dear brothers and sisters, young children, each one of us here, the Lord wants to see this little faith. If we say we have little faith, let us see that these five characteristics, you can have another two. Little more if you meditate on it, so you can have a perfect number of 7. And then later on you can share it with me also. What I want to say here is, the Lord desires that our little faith might be exercised in such a way that we might demonstrate at least these 5 things as we walk in the world which is all against the Lord, which is contrary to Him, and in which such a world He has kept you and me that we might live worthy of his calling and honor the Lord through our life. When I was reading all these passages, this particular question, that was a very common question I see, which the Lord has always asked. If you turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 36, I just want to bring one comparison before you. What would you that I should do for you? When the Lord asked that question, to whom? To two of his disciples. Because they came to the Lord and they said, Lord, they expressed their desire. Two brothers. And two things have happened there. Can somebody read that loudly for me? Mark 10 and verse 36.
And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you?
What do you want me to do for you? I think this is a very common question. And this morning, earlier, when we were talking about Saul, Saul asked the same question on the day of his conversion to the Lord. After he knew the Lord, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Since that statement is very much Christ-like, Christ is one who is asking this question to this two of his disciples. What do we see there? First of all, we see a seeking Savior. And in the reply of these two disciples, what they are saying? Can you read it ahead? What do you want me to do for you? What was their reply?
They said to him, Grant us that we may sit.
Enough. On your right and on your left. There are many who, when the seeking Savior questions them, want to sit. Sit on a position, sit on an authority, sit on different things. There are many who desire to have positions, you know. That's what we see here. But as you compare that same statement, it is not once that the Lord asked. In the same chapter, if you read Mark's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 51, same statement again. But in the earlier and this statement, there is a comparison. What difference do you find in that? Second statement in Mark 10:51, we read, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Who asked the Lord? To whom did he ask? To a blind man. Why? Because again we see there, a seeking Savior. Be a saint or be a sinner, whom do you see? You see a seeking Savior. His question is the same. This evening, as you and I, after a while, part from here, the Lord has the same question. And what this blind man said, Lord, I want to sit. No. Lord, I want to see. The saints said, we want to sit. But a sinner said, Lord, I want to see. Open my eyes. What did the Lord do? The Lord indeed opened his eyes and gave him sight. I don't know if that question comes from the Lord to you this evening, what will be your reply to him? What will be your response to him? The Lord can change a sinner into saint in no while. At the same time, he can give sight. You want to be a sitting Christian or you want to be a seeing Christian? What kind of response you want to give through your life to the Lord? That's what the question I want to leave with you. What about you? Because the same question, same matter, same experience has come in the lives of two of the disciples. Put on one hand Peter again, and on the other hand, you can have Judas Iscariot. Both of them were together with the Lord. Both of them were in the inner circle of the Lord. Both of them in the chosen 12. And both of them had heard messages. Both of them had seen miracles. Over and all, Judas had even more responsibility. He was finance advisor. He was holding the bags. He was taking care of the money aspect of the ministry. In spite of all this, compare both of them. He also denied the Lord. He also denied the Lord. He also went out when he denied the Lord. Judas Iscariot. And you will read about him. Be very careful now. You will read about him in John's Gospel chapter 13 and the last verse. And you know what it says? And he went out and it was dark. He went out and it was dark. He went out into a darkness from which there was no point of return for him. When did he go? When did he go out? Have you ever thought about it? Usually I say in my assembly or in a places where I have an opportunity to say to youngsters or any brother or sister, please remember, there is only one person who went out after partaking of the Lord's Supper. He turned his back to the ministry. He turned his back to the Lord. He turned his back to all fellowship. And he went out because he has already taken the money. He went out. One who turned his back to the Lord's Supper is only one, Judas Iscariot. Anybody who is not able to give his little time to the Lord in the fellowship, not just coming for the breaking of bread, but spending time even in the time of ministry. What ministry he missed on that day. You know, we call it upper room discourses of the Lord. Not all of them were given at the upper room. But 13th, John's Gospel chapter 13, the table was instituted. 14th, 15th, 16th and 17th. Excellent chapters. The richest ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned there. Who was missing? Judas was missing. He denied the Lord. He went a little more ahead. He betrayed the Lord. What did happen? He also wept. He also went back to them. He also threw that money that he took. He said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. But yet he was not restored. Why? Was his repentance right or wrong? Why was he not restored? Same thing you compare with Peter. As we already talked about him. He went out and he wept bitterly. You can see in the life that is mentioned in the scripture for us about both of them. Peter went out, wept bitterly and has shown the signs of repentance, the fruit meet repentance through his life, involving himself in the things that the Lord has committed to him. As far as Judas is concerned, he also wept. He also went out, but he hung himself and he died. And what an end it was. There was no point of restoration in his life. My dear children, why do I compare this and tell to you? The question of the Lord is, what do you want me to do for you? It's up to you. You can say this evening, Lord, I want you to wash me. Lord, I want you to cleanse me. Lord, I want you to hold me. Lord, I want you to pull me up. Lord, I want you to restore me. Lord, I want you to change me. Lord, I want you to give me victory over this sin. Lord, I want you to give me help that I may break that relationship. Lord, you change my eyesight. Lord, you change my thought sight. Lord, you change my heart. Lord, you transform me. You can say that. And the Lord is ready to do. His question is very simple. Whosoever he, you and I are. His question is common question to anybody, saint or sinner. He can do that. If you want to be a sitting Christian, you know what happened to two of them. What reply the Lord gave to them. But one, a sinner who said, Lord, I want to see. His sight was restored. And remember, he became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went about wherever he went. Now, as we part from one another, the Lord is asking this question to you. What commitment are you going to make to the Lord this evening? His question is very simple. What do you want me to do for you? What will be your reply to him? Shall we close our eyes? Lord, I have little faith. Lord, you know who I am. Lord, there is nothing hidden from you. Lord, I want you to reach out your hand. Lord, I want you to purge me. I have been so casual. I didn't take things seriously. Lord, I took things for granted. Lord, I hurt Father. I spoke against Dad. Lord, I hurt my mom. I don't want to be like that. Lord, I want you to change me. Lord, you can intervene in my life. Lord, I thank you for your common question. Now I think of that question to me. As you gave the opportunity to both of them equally, be it Judas or be it Peter. one's end was horrible. The other end was beautiful. Lord, I want my end to be beautiful. Lord, I want the opportunities you gave me equally to hear your word, to see your great works. I want to thank you. You gave me good dad, good mom, good family, good assembly, good provisions, good privileges, Lord. I took things for granted. I was so careless in my spiritual life. Lord, I didn't walk the way you want me to walk. My walk is known to you. There is nothing hidden from you. I thank you for your question to me today. What do you want me to do for you? I don't want to be sitting Christian. I was glued to chair. I was glued to bed. I was glued to sin. I was glued to my old habits. I don't want to be glued and sitting and lying and sleeping. I don't want to be sinking. I don't want to be straying. I don't want to be like that, dear Lord, living in guise, hypocrisy. I want to be sincere and true Christian. We have sung beautiful songs. You have given all things beautiful for us. I want beautiful end in my life. Thank you for the AYC 2013 walk that matters. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you may know how you ought to walk and please God, not how you ought to talk and please God. Lord, I come to you now. I want to reply to this question. And to you, without any fear of any man, I want to tell my reply to you, Lord. Boldly, I come to you. What a daring it was for Peter. What a result thereof. Lord, we read in the scriptures, because he stepped out, walked on the water, though sinking, held by the Savior, and when they returned to the boat, they all worshipped. They all worshipped. Oh Lord, what kind of worship it must have been. My worship is dull. I had been silent for years together in the assembly. You know why I was silent. I want to, but I am not able to, Lord. So many things are there. And I want you to hold me this evening. Take charge of me, Lord. Who will make that commitment to the Lord? Without any hesitation, who will say, whosoever you are, Lord, here I am. Here I am making my new commitment to you. Thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I don't want to forget things. I want to make change in my life. I want you to intervene in my life. Who will commit his or her life today? If I can see your right hand, I want to pray and then go from here. I just don't want to preach a message and part from here. I want to see a committed Christian. Yes, this call is not for sinners to be saved. Praise God. God bless you, young man. God bless you, brother. God bless you. You can think of the Savior, how patiently he is tolerating, I will say, tolerating with anyone else. How long? How long will you hold between two opinions? Will you make a decision for him today? What do you want me to do for you? The Lord is knocking. The Lord is asking. Can you say to him? Can you say something to him? If you are bold enough, if you want to say something, take this time out. For a minute or two, we'll be silent. If anybody wants to say anything to the Lord, we all can say amen to you and to your prayer and your desire. And the Lord will bless you, young man. The Lord will bless you, young woman. If you'd like to make a commitment, you can rise up at your place and say that one sentence to the Lord and reply to his question today. What do you want me to do for you? Any one sentence. anybody. This will be a 1 minute, 2 minute silence. A time of introspection and making commitment to the Lord. God bless you, brother. You can speak. You can say to the Lord, don't hesitate. The Lord, thank you. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? Don't harden your heart. Let the Lord hear from your mouth. Say to the Lord what you want to say today. For a broken and contrite heart, the Lord says, I will not despise. He is with you. May He strengthen you, give you words. Say that one line to Him. Lord, I love you. Lord, I will be faithful to you. Lord, I commit my life to you. Lord, enough of games now. I come to you, Lord. Lord, I come to you as I am. Will you say that? Anybody? Yes, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Thank you. Take care of him, Lord. Have mercy on us, we pray. May the Spirit of God move in among us. And without any hesitation, Lord, help each heart to pour out themselves before you. Anybody else? Brother or sister? What do you want me to do for you? The Lord says, what will be your reply to Him? Can you say something in return to Him?
Tere paap dhul sakenge aaj hi masih ke dwara tere paap dhul sakenge aaj hi masih ke dwara sirf ek nazar utha देख ले लहू की धारा सिर्फ एक नजर उठाकर देख ले लहू की धारा तेरे पाप धुल सकेंगे आज ही मसीह के द्वारा
Before any one of you gets up, I want to make my commitment to the Lord. I thought everyone sitting here will rise up and say one after another, Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, bless me. Lord, change me. Lord, transform me. One sentence to the Lord. Oh, may the Lord give that grace to you. But I make my commitment to Him.
Gracious God, here I am. Here I am as I am. I thank you because this retrospection has made me to examine my life and where I am. I pray and make my commitment to you, Lord, that you may hold on to me. Hold tightly, Lord. I want that grip of grace in my life, Lord, that wherever I am, may I stand for the Lord as a good witness for you, honor you and love you. Change me, Lord. Transform me, Lord, and make me more useful vessel in the hands of the Lord in the days to come. I commit my life unto you. I ask this prayer in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen.
I just wait for 1 minute. If there is anybody still want to make a commitment. And then I'll close in prayer. Gracious God and our Father, how thankful are we unto you. Since morning until this time, you have brought us together in this hall. We thank you for every provision and all facilities that we have enjoyed here today. Especially, Lord, sitting at thy feet, hearing your word, seeing the lives before us, dear Lord, lives that speak to us, word of God that unfolds truth to us. It is like a mirror unto us, dear Lord. We have seen ourselves in the images of the scripture. May this be impressed upon us. We thank you for your loving care and grace and mercy for each one of us here. May in this camp today, dear Lord, your rich blessings be upon everyone sitting here. Though they have not stood up and said an audible prayer, but Lord, very sure, many unspoken prayers have reached to you. You have seen their heart. You have heard their prayers. That which Anna couldn't speak, but the Lord could read her heart. You have read many hearts today, dear Lord, as you answered her prayer and blessed her more. You answer every prayer that every individual has prayed here. The burden of the assembly, the burden of the assemblies here for holding this camp every year, dear Lord, all by your grace and mercy. We want to thank you for word that was ministered, our walk that matters, and how important you have given us an opportunity to review the whole thing, dear Lord, in one life of Apostle Peter, for all 7 things we see in his life, dear Lord. May we really examine ourselves in the light of the scripture, and in the days to come, may our walk be a different walk. May our walk be a transparent walk. May our walk be a transformed walk. And may our walk be a triumphing walk, dear Lord. May we live on that victorious life and bring glory to the name of our God, of whom we speak and in whom we live and move. Undertake for all these children, dear Lord, and disperse us with your blessing. We thank you for this privileged time you have given to us. We bless thy name and commit each one of us into thy loving care. May the grace and goodness of the Lord be upon each one of us. Thank you once again for all things that you have done for us and you are doing for us. In the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
God bless you.